For the thousands of immigrants who remain in detention, separated from their children, there are relatives trying to help to get their children out of custody and bring them home. But they're facing some major hurdles. KUOW's Liz Jones has been speaking with relatives of two women detained in SeaTac at the Federal Detention Center. She told me about a few of them, starting with a man named Juan.
Juan is a painter in Georgia. His fiancée, Maria, is currently held in immigration detention near Seattle in the SeaTac Federal Prison. Juan came to the U.S. about 10 years ago from Honduras, and he met Maria there in Honduras before he left. And they kept up a courtship all these years by phone, texting each other. As the situation got increasingly worse for Maria in Honduras and for her 10-year-old son, her attorney has told me that she came here to seek asylum. She got death threats from drug traffickers there in Honduras. So as things got worse for her, Juan encouraged Maria to come north to seek asylum. He figured they'd spend a few days on the border to ask for asylum to go through that process. But the zero tolerance policy being in effect led to their quick separation. They've been separated now since May without a single phone call between mother and child. Maria's attorney thinks her son is in Texas somewhere, but hasn't been able to confirm that. Juan and Maria, though, they have been able to talk a few times a week by phone, and he told me a little bit of their conversations. And I want to play you just a little bit. It's in Spanish, so I'll translate.
Pues ella se siente, por lo que yo veo, ella está desesperada.
Well, what I see is that she's feeling desperate. She says she'd love to know if this child is with me or if they'll give him to her. But right now, we don't know, so that's the problem. She never imagined this, and I never imagined this, that they'd be separated.
But this particular case is complicated. How so?
Well, for a couple reasons. The main one is that they're not married. So the attorney is working on that with them. There is a way for people to get married when they're in custody, but it's a real uphill battle to do that. They also don't have any photos to document their relationship. Juan is trying to take guardianship of the child, and they would need to document that he is, in fact, someone who can be a guardian and can sponsor this child. The other complication is Juan's legal status. He's been in the process for about 3 years to get legal status here that has not yet finalized. So this could put him at risk. If he steps forward to claim guardianship of this child, that could put him into deportation proceedings. The attorney working with this couple, Danielle Rocher, says it happened. She has seen that happen. And it's had a chilling effect on other mixed status families who may want to step forward and sponsor children in this situation.
And you've also been talking with a woman named Amalia. What's her story?
Amalia is in her 50s. She's in North Carolina, and she's the aunt of another detainee currently held at SeaTac. Coincidentally, this detainee is also named Maria, and she has an 11-year-old son. She's from El Salvador. The advantage, though, for Amalia is that she is a legal resident. She's lived in the U.S. 30 years, and she seems several steps closer to becoming a guardian of this child, who we believe is in Pennsylvania. Amalia has been in touch with the caseworker. She's talked to the boy a few times. He tells her, "I'm okay, Tia. I'm okay." She says he tells her that he's in school, that he's with other children. She says he seems content. And Amalia sounded fairly confident that things will work out and life will be better here for Maria and her son.
I understand the immigration attorney working with some of these relatives, Danielle Rocher, has handled the cases of detained families for several years now. And something happened a few years ago that's impacted her work. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, back in 2014, there was a big increase of Central American families crossing the border to seek asylum, and many of them were being held in family detention. So Danielle Rocher went down for about a week and a half as a volunteer attorney to work with them, and what she saw there really left an impact.
So many people were relieved that President Trump reversed himself on separating families at the border. I understand Rocher wasn't. Tell us about that.
Well, the president's executive memo ends the routine practice of separating parents and children at the border, but it now opens up the door to more family detention. Rocher was there in a family detention center and witnessed firsthand what conditions are like.
There were insufficient medical care for the children. There was insufficient education for the children. There was insufficient food for the children. One of the worst examples that I witnessed there was a child who was 1.5 year old. He stopped walking and he stopped eating.
She also said this baby had been weaned and then went back to nursing due to conditions that possibly were making him physically ill. And I asked Rocher if she would go back to work with more migrants in family detention on the border.
I will be honest. I was so traumatized personally that I cannot put myself through that again.
Liz, you've been reporting on immigration for a long time now. What's your big takeaway from the story?
It is an incredibly complicated issue. It appears intractable at times, and it has been going on for a very, very long time. It's amazing to see the public attention on this right now. Maybe that will move things in a direction that is better. But we've had crises like this before. This has come and gone. So I am curious to see where we go next.
KUOW editor Liz Jones, thank you for this.
Thank you, Kim.
You can get more immigration coverage at KUOW.org.